Good morning, Whitburn Pentecostal Church. It's so good to be here. The last time I was with you on a Sunday morning, it was during that fun-loving time called the pandemic. And there was big gaps all over the sanctuary and masks and little clusters of families. But praise God, we are out of that season. But the Lord bless you richly this Sunday morning. I would like to pass on the best wishes and love of Andrew and Lois Smith through in Planet Glasgow, that banana republic in the west coast of Scotland. And they're doing very well. Lois is continuing to teach at Hamilton College, and Andrew is really a father to many in the city of Glasgow and a pastor to pastors in Glasgow. The Lord has raised him up as a city leader and a father to the city. Gateway Church continues to prosper. We have very real inroads to Bridgeton and seeing the Lord minister to the people in Bridgeton in many contexts, as we've established a community cafe, a kids club on a Monday night, and of course, a mother and toddlers group on a Thursday morning. We also have strong connection with the Arch Resettlement House in Bridgeton for men coming out of addiction, coming along to Gateway, and some experiencing the Lord in a powerful way. So all is well with Andrew and Lois and their amazing family, and all is well in Gateway Church in Glasgow. If you have a Bible, please turn to the book of Joshua. Amen. Praise God for Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. We will read the first 9 verses. Everybody good to go? Yes. Foot coming off the clutch, first gear engaged. If you drive an automatic, you're looking at me saying, what's he talking about? Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's always good to read Bible. It's good to read these verses this morning, the ministry of Joshua beginning in an elevated role as basically the apostle, the prophet, the prime minister, the pastor, and all-round general good guy of a fledgling tribe called Israel. The work of God has begun on the planet from the Garden of Eden forward. Today's portion of Scripture highlights a time in God's plans and purposes that indeed bore great ramifications for you and I today. So we're going to parallel what the Lord was doing in and through Joshua and the people of God in that era and apply it to this era. There are indeed similarities because Joshua took over the people of Israel at a time when Moses passed away. Joshua had a clear vision. This guy could make Arnold Schwarzenegger blush. Rocky would have not taken on Joshua. Absolutely not. He was a tough son of a gun. There was no messing with Joshua. Single-minded, focused, and incredibly godly. He had personality, like you and I have personality. He had baggage, like you and I have baggage. But he was swept up into the plans and purposes of God, like you and I have been swept up into the plans and purposes of God. We're living in an ever-increasing darkness in Scotland, and the kingdom of heaven is alive and well in 21st century Scotland. We've experienced minor and some major convulsions in our nation in recent years. We are entitled to ask the question, what is going on? That's probably our common prayer point as a people. What is going on? Is it the devil that's doing this? Is it God? Is it people becoming more rebellious and lawless? Are we paying the price for being a godless society? Well, my faith is in Christ Jesus. I'm not sure I check in with human beings too much in trying to establish what the Lord is doing in our land. I check in with the Lord God, and he shows me what he's doing through human beings. People like you and people like me. What is going on? Well, this is an important statement. It explains much of the present chaos in our beloved Scotland. Listen closely. If you remember nothing else, make this your takeaway today. When the seasons are changing in the spirit realm, crisis breaks out in the earth. That's worth repeating. As I said, my faith is Godward, not manward. I don't interpret events and apply that to God's nature and character. When the seasons in the spirit realm are changing, chaos and crisis breaks out on the earth. The seasons are changing in the realm of the spirit. God, from the very beginning, has always created a people that would constitute a movement. A people that move in time with what the Spirit of God is saying and in time with what the Spirit of God is doing. What does that look like for you and I? Well, it means we engage in two things called spiritual migration and spiritual alignment. Spiritual migration and spiritual alignment. Spiritual migration has got nothing to do with Brexit. Spiritual migration's fascinating because we've already lived in much of that over our Christian lives. especially if you've been on the road a long time. The same spirit realm where the spirit seasons are changing, creating all this crisis on the earth. Well, you and I are indeed seated in heavenly places this morning in Christ Jesus. So the changes in the seasons in the realm of the spirit impacts you and I. It impacts Whitburn Pentecostal Church, where we go from one position in the realm of the Spirit to another position. Functions change dramatically in those circumstances. Our callings change dramatically in those circumstances. Indeed, life events are a product of the seasons changing in the spirit realm. The danger is narrowing all of this down to Christian service. But seriously, in my 40 years as a believer, I have experienced massive spiritual migration over the decades. Did I know what was going on when all of that was going on? Absolutely not. All I knew was a season of shake, rattle, and roll. And I refer to my earlier question, what is going on? But the other side of that, clearly, we operate from a new place in Christ Jesus because we are positioned to do things we've never done before. Before that could become a reality, we had to become a person that we've never been before. God's ways and purposes are incredibly magnetic, dynamic, and irresistible. Then the spiritual alignment. It's so vital for you and I as men and women of destiny that we're aligned properly into our local churches, into our correct relationships, into places of influence in the marketplace, that we're aligned to be a blessing to our wider families. We're aligned to have kingdom resources to dispense with those the Lord calls us to dispense them to. So this is a backdrop to this very brief message as we unpack the journey of Joshua this morning. Keep at the front of our minds that you and I as a church, well, we are an institution, and praise God for the institutional church here in Whitburn Pentecostal Fellowship. We need systems, we need structures, we need management, we need leadership. But this is going somewhere, for we're called to be a movement. Verse 1 of today's portion of Scripture declares, "Now it came after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord." Before Joshua could ascend and operate out of a new kingdom position, Moses had to die. Moses is dead. Long live Joshua. We have lived in recent times of the death of a sovereign, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth. The Queen is dead. Long live the King. We've lived in a season where there's been a shift, where we're now experiencing what it means to be ruled over by a new monarch. Death is such an important part of kingdom processes. But let's not treat Moses and his calling, let's not treat that calling with triviality. For Moses was a mighty man of God, apparently one of the most humble men you could ever meet. Let's look briefly at what the Lord called him to do before he passed. Moses delivered the people out of Egypt. There was a miracle at the Red Sea that people still talk about today. He received the Ten Commandments. That's similar in stature and long-term impact as Paul receiving epistles generally when he was in prison, to write to churches that still breathe the life of Christ Jesus to you and I today. Moses experienced the manifest presence of God. But Moses had to die. There had to be a death of an old order, an old system. We're living in the similar. God is de-religiousized in Scotland. I think as a legacy and as a heritage, Scotland has indeed served the Lord powerfully in terms of missionaries, great ministers, great churches. But the underbelly of Scottish Christianity that's connected to something in our Scottish psyche is simply a religious version of Christianity. All human beings are essentially religious, but there's a Scottishness to our religiosity that the Lord is purging at this time. He's dismantling the national church, the Church of Scotland. A leader in that church spoke to me recently at a conference in Troon, a conference I had the privilege of speaking at, and told me that the Church of Scotland is now on palliative care. We're seeing the death of an old order, death of old systems. In some ways, the best way to describe our 21st century journey as men and women of God that have given their lives to the church, perceiving the plans and purposes of God for our generation, can be summarized in a simple statement. We have been living in death by installment. Death by installment. Death by installment, as we work this through in our daily lives, in our life of active discipleship, in our corporate life as a church, old ways of thinking are dying in our minds at the moment. We're unlearning lots of old ideas, old ways of personal spirituality are just fading because they no longer work. At the end of the day, the Lord is a pragmatist, and we are pragmatic. I related to the Lord in a way in the 1990s that brought me great life, that now only brings me death. There's nothing there, there's nobody there. And I've given that up as part of my own personal dying process. Old missional expectations have been dying. The way we reach communities historically have been passing away before our very eyes. But this is not a message of doom and gloom. It's good news. Beware of those who make the good news bad news. Amen. Have you ever been around a Christian that suddenly made the good news bad news? Is your hair biblical? Is your hair at an appropriate biblical length? Wow. Do you still listen to pop music? How many hours of television do you watch a week? Suddenly you regret being saved halfway through the conversation. Unless I grow when I was a Scottish heathen practicing my religion every day. I'm just glad I've got hair, incidentally. I'm not sure if it's at the biblical length anymore. All I do know is there's a helicopter landing pad growing at the back. I just give God thanks every morning. I've got grey hair instead of nae hair. But our lives this morning, men and women of God, Whitburn Pentecostal Church, our lives are bound up in the sovereignty of God. Bound up in the sovereignty of God. And while we're seeking to manage everything that's going on in and around us, perceiving accurately everything that's going on in and around us, we know this, that the death of the old has to be completed before the new will be released. Rather than praying, Lord, release the new in me, release the new in Whitburn PC, we can say, Lord, complete the dying process in me. Complete the dying process of the old in the larger body of the church so we can move into the new. Moving on rapidly. In verses 5 and 6 in today's portion of Scripture, the Lord spoke over Joshua saying, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. You shall give this people possession of the land." I've just pulled out two or three threads from verses 5 and 6, because Joshua knew as a leader that people would be his greatest blessing, and at times people would be his greatest curse. He knew that human beings would oppose him. But yet the Lord was saying, said clearly to him, "Do not be anxious about this. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life." The enemy always works through people. Look at the human dimension that we've been part of from birth to this point in our journey. But Joshua also knew he was leading a people of promise, a child of promise, that he was going to lead a tribe into the promised land, a nation, a wealthy nation that the Lord had reserved for Israel. Indeed, that battle rages today. Some things never change. But you and I face the same bittersweet life experience as Joshua. We are part of the human dimension. In church life, we experience the grace of God more often than not through the human dimension. We couldn't have got very far this morning without the human dimension leading us into praise and worship. We're still in the human dimension. But there's a guy from Glasgow, a geezer from Glasgow, bumping his gums in the pulpit about God. The human dimension is almost impossible to escape. But when we live in our authority as believers, in a dark nation where voices of opposition are many, we do not need to run in fear and cower before powerful atheistic voices beating us into submission, because we are children of promise. We are people of promise, not looking for some kind of weak and plausible explanation from some distant feathery realm, but men and women of the Lord that have the Word of God vibrant in our spirits. The people that oppose the gospel in this land are people who have been deceived, people that have been indeed pressured in their own carnality. Atheism means there's no accountability. Atheism means there is no God, and you can live your best life on the basis of what's best for you. And if that impacts anybody in your spheres of influence, then hard lines. Children of promise know a very different spiritual and moral narrative. This morning, as we unpack the week that we've come out of, we can rejoice that we are men and women of promise. Reflect upon the people that have opposed you. Historically, did they win? Was there not a shift and a change where the Lord subdued even the most destructive of voices that tried to nullify us? It's incredible how an opposing voice always seeks to nullify, never to accommodate. We're part of a Joshua generation that's been called to take back the land of Scotland for Jesus, not just spiritually, but politically, economically, and socially. Our gospel is a holistic gospel. We're not a fringe movement that gather on a Sunday and do our strange but tolerable traditions. We're part of what Almighty God is doing in 21st century Scotland. Verse 9. I'm going to try and finish in the next 5 or 10 minutes, then we'll have a little time of personal prophecy. Verse 9, do not tremble or be dismayed. Again, I'm pulling a thread out of verse 9. I encourage you to read all of the 9 verses when you go home so you have a real handle on the context of this morning's message and see yourself in those 9 Bible verses, because you and I have the spirit of Joshua in us in this generation. We have the spirit of Joshua. For Joshua was a forerunner for Jesus. And the name Jesus is indeed a translation of the name Joshua, the one who saves. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Because Joshua was in indeed pole position to usher in the glory of God to the saints. A great position, but living in an ultimate promise. And of course, Joshua, like anyone else, would battle with fear. It's incredible how at this time of prophetic utterance that ushered in the beginning of Joshua's ministry, that there's all of this prophetic impartation into his life. Before the Lord moves significantly in any nation or any region, there is usually strong prophetic declarations and apostolic infrastructure. The prophet gets a blueprint, the apostle is the builder. He takes out of the blueprint, applies the grace given to him, and builds the kingdom of God accordingly. You and I are living in an age of fear. Luke 21:26 in the Message translation has correctly identified the era that we are living in now. It speaks of, it will seem like all hell has broken loose. Everyone all over the world in a panic. Does that not summarize the age that we are living in? A fear pandemic has superseded the COVID pandemic. But like Joshua, we're undergirded with something powerful, a promise that declares, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that's way beyond just giving us an emotional fix and a pick-me-up. The Lord's commitment to be with you and I as individuals, as a fellowship, has direct ramifications for all of the above. For the Lord going with you and I means our faith is undergirded. We don't have to try and crank something up. A continuous supply of grace. It's a free money every morning. Let's change the way we think about grace dramatically. Rather than saying, Lord, give me grace where I'm weak today, get out of bed in the morning, pray in tongues for 10 seconds if you want to. Chundere, chundere, chundere. And say, Lord, I want to spend as much grace as I can today. Starting with getting out of bed, starting with having my breakfast, starting with making my way to work. Oh, Lord, I'm going to spend so much grace today, I'll make you blush. A continuous supply of grace. And ultimately, involvement in God's purposes. Involvement in what the Lord is doing across the wider nation. Isaiah 49:23 declares, those who hope in me will not be disappointed. There's no disappointment ultimately through hoping in Christ Jesus. We began this brief message by looking at the transition from Moses to Joshua. But that's not the end of Moses' journey on the earth, because An event took place in the Gospels called the Transfiguration. There was Jesus suddenly moving into glorified mode in front of three disciples. And who does he bring along for company? He brings along Moses, and he brings along Elijah. Several of the disciples experienced Jesus, Moses, and Elijah having a conversation with one another at the Transfiguration. Read all about this in Matthew 17, verses 1 to 3. And for you and I, yes, our journey on earth will come to an end. There will be an ultimate transition, but we will lay down all that we have and pass it into the hands of another. But there'll be a time shortly afterwards that we will have a glorified body. It'll be a much better version of this one. That I do know. It will not wear out. It will not age. We will all look groovy again. When you get older, everything starts going south. Even when we pass away, the world has not seen the last of us. It's called being an eternal people, as well as being children of promise. I haven't come with a magic wand message today. I wave the magic wand and we'll all be in full revival. I believe the heart of the message is Almighty God inviting you and I to partner with the Holy Spirit. And what's a process of change, a process of discovery, and a process of learning? I believe we're unlearning many things. What are we beginning to learn? What are we beginning to discover? How are we changing in our own processes of change? Fundamental, heartfelt questions that go at the core of who you and I are. In many ways, it's been business as normal because the Lord's only doing in our lives what he's done from the moment we were born into this world and born into the kingdom of heaven. He's been working. He's been leading us forward into his purposes and plans. I believe the difference now for you and I is we've got language, we've got understanding, we're engaging in retrospective revelation where we can look back 5, 10, 15, 20 years and get what the Lord was doing in previous seasons, even ugly seasons. Ugly seasons are hard to look back on because we're embarrassed by them. We've all had them. We've been all very ugly for a season. But generally speaking, from what I can see, it's in that place the Lord kills the flesh the most and ushers in the new creation significantly. The present future people, men and women of God, we don't have a past. We're present, we're future. And if the enemy tries to mess with the past, let's turn the question on its head and say, yes, but look at the great things the Lord did through the pain and messes of my past. Present, future people. I'm looking at a present, future people this morning. An eternal people. People that are indeed carriers of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And finally, we are a Joshua generation. But looking at this, we get together during the Transfiguration, where Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus in a glorified state to declare over you and I that we are a Joshua generation. Does Elijah some disservice? Because the heartland of who we are as a Joshua generation depends on the anointing, boldness, and kingdom authority of Elijah. We're a Joshua generation, but we're being trained and developed into an Elijah anointing. Understand, I've given you a lot of information today. You might want to go home and take notes. I encourage you to go home and take notes and say, apply this to my life, Holy Spirit. But let me have fun along the way. Let's have fun together, Holy Spirit, as we move forward into a Joshua generation, into an Elijah anointing. I've had lots of fun with the Holy Spirit over the decades. I've served as a prophet to the body of Christ worldwide. The Holy Spirit's told me things about people that I'm prophesying over that are so funny. And I've said, Holy Spirit, is this biblical? Like, knock, knock, ring any bells? Now, he's a shy guy, as far as I can see, but he's really funny. Partly, I think in part, he's maybe the introvert of the Trinity. I'm not sure, but he's funny with it. One thing I do know is the human counterpart of the Holy Spirit. Introverted people, any introverts in the house this morning, have colorful inner lives. If you want to laugh, if you want to engage in belly laughter, befriend an introvert and work with them till you can source their humor. And when you source their humor, you will laugh like you've never laughed before in your life. That's free money, incidentally. That's got nothing to do with the message. I should call all the introverts forward, then invite the people who remain seated to come forward and choose an introvert to make them laugh. I maybe shouldn't do that. That's above my pay grade.